Today's segment of Sound Balming is brought to you by Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care. I cannot express to you how much we love, love, love their products. Although we use them all year, as the weather gets colder, we need these products even more. The dreaded drop in temperature, the dryness, the itchiness, and the unnecessary flakiness is inevitable. Shea Butter from Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care is the only thing that works for my skin and hair needs. Not only do these products cure my dry skin, the whipped butter goes on smoothly and doesn't leave that uncomfortably thick, sticky residue. Bonus? It smells absolutely amazing. There are so many different scents to choose from too. Not only do they carry skincare products, there are products for authentic living, face, shower, hair and beard, spritzers and perfumes, and bath products. Let me tell you, we cannot even keep the stuff in the studio. The entire production team, as well as all our children, use Jimmy and Mary's product. Jimmy and Mary's take pride in creating quality, handcrafted products from simple ingredients for the entire family. Their products are made for all skin types and are 100% handmade, 100% vegan, and 100% cruelty-free. Skincare is important. Moisture is key, and keeping our skin and hair hydrated is essential. I cannot emphasize how much we trust Jimmy and Mary's for all of our skincare needs. Hurry on up to jimmyandmarys.com and check out their products. Did I mention service is fast and efficient too? Don't forget to mention that you heard about Jimmy and Mary's authentic skincare on Sound Balming. Use the discount code SOUNDBALM20 to get 15% off. That's SOUNDBALM20 for 15% off at Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Skin Care.
Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Balming. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're going to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're going to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We come to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show,
Lamar Darnell Shields.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of the day it is. I am your host, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, the creator of Sound Balming. And my goal with this show is to introduce you, yes you, introduce you to people with ideas that will help you unlock your full potential. Isn't that great to have someone help you unlock your full potential? So check this out, Sound Balming community. How does a woman go from thinking a breakfast of champions is a half a pack of cigarettes and a pot of black coffee to running 2 or 3 marathons and an ultra marathon in a year? I'm so glad you asked, because my next guest is going to answer that question and so much more. She is a certified personal trainer, published author that changed her mindset from a chain-smoking couch potato to a full-time personal trainer that inspires others to change their own lifestyle. She's the author of Running with Walt. We're going to find out who Walt is, how a chain-smoking couch potato got off the couch and started running. So are you ready to get off the couch? Are you ready to boost your confidence and keep those self-sabotaging thoughts at bay? Are you ready to find out how to reboot your body? Because if you answered yes to any of those questions, you're at the right place at the right time with me and my guest today, Sean Tagmeyer. She is from the great state of Illinois, a city that Chicago that I'm always representing. So I'm happy and honored that she gets to hang out with me today. Now, you may hear some sounds in the background. She has an animal who wants to be a part of the show, but I do not interview animals. I interview people who act like animals sometimes, but I have an animal. His name is Biko, and sometimes he pops up in my studio, Sean. Sean, welcome to Sound Bombing. Let my listeners know how you are doing, where you are calling from, and who is in the background making that noise, that barking sound?
Oh, my gosh. I am so excited to be here. I can't thank you enough. I'm in the Chicagoland area. I'm from Crystal Lake, Illinois, which is about 40, 50 miles northwest of Chicago. And the little guy, he's not so little, that you hear in the background periodically is Brady Thomas Tegmeyer. He's 18 months old yesterday, and he's a German Shepherd, Australian Shepherd, Border Collie, Lab mix.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You got a dog with a first, middle, and last. I know grown people, Sean, that don't have middle names. And hey, my dog's name is Biko. He's named after the great activist out of South Africa, Stephen Biko. You might have, many people might have seen that movie. Every now and then, he likes to pop up in the studio. That's why I got to close the door because he just wants to come in. And if I make a loud sound, he'll jump up on my lap. But I'm so excited that you're here because we got a couple of things in common. Not only are we from, you know, from the same area, I heard that you are a fan of the great Chicago Cubs. Is that true?
Yeah.
You are a Cub fan. Okay.
Yes.
All right. You are a Cubs fan. Listen,
yes.
When the Cubs won the World Series, I want to say it's 2017. Was that right? 16, 17. Somebody will Google us, you know, it and let 16. Us know.
Yeah.
I allowed my son, who was still in elementary school, well, he just graduated, to stay up late because if you didn't see that game, first of all, we hadn't won a game in like since baseball was invented. And I think the game went into either 12:30, 1 a.m. It was super, super late. And my son was so excited to be a part of that history. But, you know, his mama said, your butt still need to go to school in the morning. So ain't no celebrating, no days off. You just celebrate because we got a jersey. So I'm excited that you're hanging out with me. But you're on the couch, though. We're going to talk about that. Because I know you were a couch, but how are you going to be in an interview sitting on a couch after I just called you a recovering
I should be like
couch?
Running.
You should be standing up, running around with the dog with all three names.
Right,
but you're
right.
Not. But you're not doing that. And it's okay. It's a Saturday. So I got a lot to talk with you about because some people sent me a couple of questions and a couple of statements. Oh. And I know you've done some amazing things. We're going to talk about your book. We're going to talk about the new book, I think, that you are still working on or has
That's
it been completed?
Correct.
Still working
no,
on the book.
No, still working on.
Still working, working on that. So we're going to talk about that because we know a lot of folks got some of that COVID weight. You know what I mean? But they still blaming it on COVID. You know, COVID has been around almost 2 years. COVID is like that cousin we don't really want to be around, you know, but he pops up every now and then. But we still talking about that COVID weight. Let me start with this. So someone said to me, sent this in and says, I've never been particularly good at taking care of myself. And I'm very good at making sure that my kids eat healthy foods and don't have a lot of sugar. But my own diet is out of control. I consume large amounts of sugar daily in form of Slurpees or pop. You know, if they say pop, they're probably from Chicago, right?
That's
a Chicago
not soda.
Thing. Pittsburgh says pop as well. Chocolate and candy. I still eat like a teenager. And it's catching up to me. I used to get very little exercise, but this is something that has already begun to improve. I take my kids to appointments weekly, but I've not been to a dentist for myself in 7 years or a doctor in over a year. I may think that in doing this, I'm a good mom. But in fact, the example I'm setting for my kids is how to take care of themselves is not a healthy one. Now, you are a woman and you had your own challenges. And I hear this a lot from women. This is my first statement I want to start with you. What message do you have to this mom who, thank you, mom, I'm not going to mention her name, who sent me this statement? Let's just start right there.
Oh, you know, I think like one thing is I kind of always go to, I mean, it's great that she's raising her kids healthy and everything, but she is setting up a, you know, a not so good example. Is she really needs to stop and think about what she's doing and kind of following the example she, or not the example, but following what she's having her kids do. Because eventually, as she's probably already finding out, this is already catching up to her. Sugar is, now don't get me wrong, I love cookies. Okay.
You got that I love cookies. That cookie demon.
I got the cookie
mine is potato chips, but I've gotten much better.
We go with the salty or the sweet, it seems like, right? Mm-hmm. So I completely understand that. And, you know, I like sugar too, but however, what I always tell people when they say stuff like that, well, it's, you know, it's for my kids. I've got to really take care of them. That's wonderful. But I always kind of revert to the, you know, when you're in the airplane, and they're given all their little directions, and they talk about the oxygen falling down. What do they say? They say, don't put it on your child or your baby. Put it on yourself first. Because if you are not healthy, or, you know, you're not able to breathe, you're not going to be able to help the kids. So I kind of always think to that statement. So in like her case, you know, while her kids are being healthy, she's helping them be healthy right now, but she's not helping herself be healthy. And she's going to end up where she can't continue to take care of her kids the way she's wanting to. So she has to, I think, really kind of second guess all of that. And I know it's hard because drinking pop, for instance, I don't like pop. I personally don't drink pop.
And for those that don't know what pop is, because you may not be from where we are from, pop is another word for soda. Okay.
Right.
Soft drinks.
Soft drinks. Coca-Cola. Pepsi,
those
Mountain Dew,
yes,
you know, yeah. those are what we call pops. Mm-hmm. But one thing that's kind of interesting while we're talking about pop is people talk about, well, I want to lose weight, and if you are gaining weight, if you're a big pop drinker, simply eliminating 2 cans of pop a day, you'll lose a pound a week.
So that's some good advice. So I want to start out with this quote from this statement that was sent in to me from one of my guests. I hear this a lot, Sean, and we're going to talk about your journey, and you could probably just bring it in as we're engaging with one another. But I hear this a lot from women, that they're taking care of their children. They're doing all these things, but they don't pour back into themselves. They don't.
Right.
They just don't do that. And many of the women that I've had come on the show, these are high performing women, women who are speaking all over the country, who are now learning to do this. They sort of feel bad that they're sitting down. They sort of feel bad that they're taking a rest. They sort of feel bad because their goal, and I'm using this from some of the women, that they're supposed to pour into their children. Can you talk about your personal journey as a woman who I've read that you've had those very similar struggles as well. Mm-hmm. And then for those women who are beating up on themselves, but they're also investing in their children. And one thing I know as an educator, we tell children to do as I say and not as I do, but they do as we do. And they observe everything that we do.
Yes. Yeah. It's no, I completely understand that too, because it was, and it is hard being a mom, because I was, getting them to school in the morning, you know, making them breakfast, making them lunch, getting them to school, going to work, you know, my own job, and then picking them up, getting them to soccer practice or basketball practice, you know, signing up to be the soccer mom so that I was, you know, emailing everybody, okay, here's this, here's that, we got to do this, we got to do that. Going to all the practices, going to all the games, orchestrating everything. And then you just kind of really totally lose sight of yourself. And I remember doing that. And it was just, I felt like I was exhausted all the time, you know? And I wasn't, you know, I was gaining weight, you know, because I had done the quit smoking thing and stuff. But then I really started gaining some weight and not feeling really happy, because I had really lost. I think when you get into a situation like that, or when, and I think everybody, probably a lot of people do get into the same situation, you really lose yourself. You're kind of like, I was, you know, like, I was mom, I was wife, I was, you know, volunteer committee person. I, you know, and at work, you know, you try to excel at work and everything. And you really lose sight of, actually, I lost sight of who Sean was. I just really didn't know anymore. I just didn't know. So I kind of started running. That was something I could do by myself. And I found, initially I didn't enjoy it, but.
Yeah, I'm a runner too. I mean, I don't know too many people that's like excited in the beginning of, I like how you, because yeah. Somebody's like, listen, there is, you know, on the back of these cards, there's these stickers and you see 2.6 miles,
yeah.
You know, five, you know, and then someone has 0.0 miles.
Yeah.
Another person said running is overrated. I love those stickers. But, you know, you talk about you weren't excited, but then you eventually got excited, mm-hmm. and then it sort of shift your mind. We know the concept about the brain, endorphins, and the feelings, mm-hmm. and emotions, mm-hmm. that you get when you sort of work out. So talk to us about your process and what that was like, because I know when I open up with the show with the statement, I'm sure you were like, mm-hmm. Did I send that statement in? Is that me?
Yeah.
It started to sound like almost every woman who was a high performing woman in her career and her life, yeah. they tend to lose, and I watched this with my kids' moms, you know, you tend to lose yourself in your children, and somewhere mm-hmm. in there, there's a woman, you know, yeah. there's a woman yep. who wants to feel sexy and feel good and wants mm-hmm. to do all those certain things, but then we get lost. You got your swag back by running, and what did that do mm-hmm. for you? And talk about that process, because I know it wasn't easy in the beginning.
No, it was not easy at all. I was so busy, you know, making, you know, trying to make the most creative cake for the cakewalk, for the fun fair, you know, stuff like that, you know, just to be just crazy things like that. And then that's where, during the whole soccer stuff with the traveling soccer teams, my oldest son, he's 32 now, back when he was in fifth grade, he and his friend, we're on the same travel soccer team, and his dad, my son's friend's dad was Walt, and Walt had start, you know, like what, if you're on a travel team, if anybody's ever been on a travel team, you know that you spend every single weekend with these the same family, so you all know each other pretty well, you know. And Walt had done this thing. He was starting to run to improve his mountain biking. And when you're a new runner, well, you know, because now you run too. So you probably remember back when you first started running, it was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing. And you just want to talk about it. And so of course, Walt wanted to talk about it, and really nobody wanted to listen, because especially his wife, she's like, oh my God. So I was, you know, I was very polite, and I would just listen, and I would just nod and go, oh, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. I was just really too polite to be rude and just kind of walk away. But I think with him talking so much about running, it kind of planted a little seed in my brain. And so one morning I just thought, maybe I'll give that a little whirl, you know. Well, of course, I was a block and a half away from my house, and I made it about a half a block before I about collapsed in somebody's front yard. Thinking, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. I'm gasping for breath, going, I could do this. And then for another idiotic reason, I continued every morning to try to run further and further and further. And I eventually, you know, ran like, you know, a whole mile. And then I, so I had told Walt, you know, about this. I said, oh my gosh, I'm doing some running. And it was just kind of really empowering just to have that little piece of myself that I could do on my own. Made me feel better as a person, stronger. And then, you know, you get those endorphins going like you talk about. And it is a true thing. I think the endorphins, a lot of people, they don't believe it. But I find that I can solve so many problems when I'm running. You probably... Yeah.
I'm the same way. In running, exercising, moving, you know, there was a body of research that like depression and anxiety can't take up in the same space when your body is moving. So we're constantly moving our body. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I love your story about running and keep going. But what are some of the limiting beliefs that you had to destroy in order to keep moving? Because I know we have these limiting beliefs about ourselves. But what are some of the ones that you had to destroy to keep going when it wasn't nobody else around that would motivate you?
Oh, I know. Because I remember one time, and it's even in my book, I even wrote about it. I would run under the cover of darkness, like early in the morning, you know, because I didn't want anybody to see me because I thought people are going to laugh. They're like, you think you're a runner, you know? And I remember I was running along one morning and I saw like these bike lights. You know, like the speedy little bikers coming through. And I just kind of saw them zip by. And then I heard one of them yell my name. He's like, hey, Sean. And I'm like, God, somebody saw me. You know? And it was really horrifying. I thought, oh my God, I don't even know who that was. Well, as the week progressed, I had forgotten about it. And then we got to our next soccer tournament. And I was digging something out of my truck and one of the soccer dads yelled, oh, hey, Sean, I saw you running. And I went, oh my God, it was him. And everybody kind of looked and they're like, you're running? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know. And rather than people like laughing at me or saying, you know, what are you doing? They're like, oh my God, that's awesome. You know, so I think a lot of times, like we perceive ourselves in a more negative way than in a positive way. And now when I see people out running that are heavier or whatever, you know, I just want to cheer and yell for them now because I'm thinking, hey, I know how much courage that takes to be out there, you know, because a lot of people I know, they'll say to me, well, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, well, you know, running is a good way to do it. You know, no, Sean, I'm too heavy to run. No, you're not.
Yeah, the beautiful thing about runners, like when you see marathons and my trainer, shout out to Chauncey, the trainer, he was like, there are going to be so many body shapes, sizes, mm-hmm. forms yeah. there. And my yeah. thought was, I'm going to see all these Kenyans, you know yeah. what I mean, in yeah. the front and all yeah. these thin and tall people. And yeah. shout out to all my Kenyans who's runners out there. And I would sort of look awkward. And yeah. that myth was dispelled once I actually got out yeah. there. And yep. and so you sort of felt some kind of, you felt sort of strange. You didn't want people to know that you were running. So you mm-hmm. ran in the dark. So you had to sort of overcome that belief. And then you're sort of changing the way you see things. So changing the way you look at things, we know is very, very important. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, not only just how we change the way we look at things, Sean, just as well as the questions and statements that we make about who we are in these spaces. What are some questions that you've had to ask yourself as you overcome your challenges of let's say weight, challenges of giving up smoking, and also challenges of running when you're not quote unquote a runner? What are some of the questions you had to ask yourself in order to overcome some of your personal challenges?
Well, I know, like when I quit smoking, I was hypnotized. I went through hypnosis for that. And so I spent a lot of time chanting the little mantra they gave us, which was, I'm a very happy, healthy, very attractive non-smoker. So I would just,
you had to throw attractive that in there, right? You just could be a regular,
ugly or just an average. Had to be a very attractive non-smoker. Yeah. A very attractive non-smoker that was rapidly gaining weight.
Wow. And I recently had a hypnotist on the show too. It was cool.
Oh, you did? Oh my gosh. Yeah, it is. I think it's really neat. Yeah. I'm going to have to look for that episode. But, so that was the smoking part. And I, you know, one thing I am not, and that's what I try to tell, because I have coached literally, I know this sounds funny, but I've literally coached hundreds of people now over their first 5K or half marathon finish line. And the one thing that I really believe, and I try to empower them with and educate them with, is, you guys, you don't have to win the race. It doesn't matter how fast you are. And they're like, well, you know, so-and-so said this, that I should, you know, run a half marathon in 2 hours. And if I don't, then I'm just not, you know, what's the point? And I'm like, do you know how many times I've had the police car behind me? You know, it doesn't matter. What we need to do is just get across the finish line in an upright vertical position with a smile on your face, because there's always cameras around. You know, you want to be looking halfway decent. And it's not about... I do know a lot of people that are very fast runners and they do win races and they're fabulous people. But like the Kenyans, right? You know, they're at the front of the pack. And like you said, with the marathons, it's just amazing to see a marathon. Like, I've worked the water stop at Chicago several times. And it's so cool to see the Kenyans and then like the Olympians. And then comes the rest of the herd, you know.
I will be a part of the rest of the herd. They exactly. wouldn't even have a label for me.
Right. No. And it's just like, you can just see this. It's just so cool to see. And yeah, all sizes, shapes, ages, just everything is out there. So I think when they're not runners, they envision the Kenyans and the Olympians. You know, they don't see the rest of the herd where you and I are, you know.
I'm clearly not running for a time. I'm running to save my life and so I can be healthy. Talk to my listeners about, you know, what does it do to you when you cross that finish line? Because what I notice about high performers, and that's what this show is really about. Mm-hmm. I'm reading magazines like Forbes and Inc. and Fast Company. And what I've discovered, Sean, all of these individuals, men or women, I've all either ran a half marathon or a marathon. Mm-hmm. What does it do for your self-esteem? What does it do for your body? What does it do for your mind? And also, what does it do for the people around you?
It's just crazy. Regardless if you run a marathon in 3 hours or 4 hours or 5 hours or 6 hours, it's 26.2 miles. That's a long distance. A lot of people don't even want to drive that. Indeed. My husband included. He's like, I don't even want to drive that far. But it's so emotional. I mean, you know, even now, when I'm able to cross a finish line, you just get all choky and teary-eyed, you know, because it's just such an accomplishment. And you think, well, my gosh, if I can do this, you know, it's just such an empowering thing.
What are some of the greatest lessons that you've learned about yourself and also about people as you are training and running? Because, you know, you run the marathon. People don't know that you run the marathon way before you run the marathon. But those folks who train for the marathon, you've already done it. So what are some of the lessons that you learned about yourself and some things that you discovered that you didn't know was that were there?
You know, I was running one marathon. It was the Twin Cities Marathon up in Minnesota. And I remember I was going along and I hit the halfway mark and I thought, oh my God, this is just so great. It was one of the few marathons I had opted to run by myself. Usually I run with friends, you know, and we just kind of chatter the whole way, you know, make it a lot of fun. But for this particular marathon, for some reason or another, I thought, oh, I'm just going to run. I'm just going to run by myself just to kind of see what I can do. So I got to the halfway point, the half marathon mark, and I thought, this is going great. This is so awesome. And I hit about mile 20, I think it was. And I thought everything just kind of fell apart. I felt like throwing up. I kept looking around. There was no convenient place to throw up because there's people. And I remember just feeling miserable, and I kind of clomped along, you know, for the next 3 miles. And I came across a woman who was in about the same situation I was. And she was just kind of crying and saying, this is horrible. And I kind of went into coach mode. And I said, no, come on. We're going to do this. We are going to do this. And she's just kind of looking at me. I said, no, we're going to do this. We are going to finish this. And so for the next 3 miles, I just talked her through it. I completely forgot about my own problems. And we crossed the finish line together. And she turned to me and she said, oh my God, thank you so much, so much. And at that point, like my coaching hat was back off. And I was like, you're so welcome. Now I have to go find a place to throw up, you know? So it's kind of neat how you can forget about your own problems when you're trying to help somebody that might be having a little bit more, you know, need a little bit more help than you currently need at the time.
I love that. Great story.
You know, you just feel a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're gonna switch gears. We're gonna put our running shoes down and pick up our pen and our pad and our computer, and we're gonna talk about your book. What's your advice for aspiring writers? And then, how long did it take you to write your book?
It's hard to say how long it took. I started writing the book because my background being the smoking couch potato, and then evolving into, you know, getting fit, you know, gaining weight, losing weight, starting to run, working on becoming a personal trainer. My friend, you know, everybody was like, wow, I started meeting people in the running community, including my friend Walt, who planted the seed, and I always call him my mentor. People would say, gosh, that's really fascinating. You really need to write a book. And I would just joke around and I would say, yeah, I'm going to write a book and it's going to be called Running with Walt, you know. And Walt would say, oh, yeah, okay, just let me know when we're going on our book signing tours. And I'm like, okay. So I've always kind of liked writing. And I thought, oh, maybe I should kind of try to do that. So I would write like, you know, little bits early in the morning or late at night. I can't really remember how long it took me, probably a couple of years, I'm going to guess, that I was writing. Well, I finally had my manuscript ready. And that was in 2016. I had my manuscript ready. And I had signed up to go to the Chicago Writer Association. They were having a big convention, and writers like myself that had their manuscripts and whatnot could go down and pitch to agents. So I had chosen 3 or 4 agents that were, you know, within my genre. and you had like 3 minutes where you could go in and say, this is my story. What do you think? Well, I was super excited for that. I was supposed to do that in March of 2016. And in February of 2016, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is bone marrow cancer. So everything got put on hold because I had to do a stem cell transplant and, you know, go through chemo and all that. That was pretty much 2016. So I kind of forgot all about my manuscript and everything. And then in 2017, I was trying to get back to my new normal. And I kind of started thinking about it again. I was getting, back on track and everything. And I thought, oh gosh, okay, now back to the manuscript. How am I going to work on this? And I kind of started like looking at it again. Well, then in 2018, the beginning of 2018, I came out of remission and had to start a whole new program, more chemo and all that stuff. So that was 2018. So then like towards the end of 2018, beginning of 2019, I thought, well, geez, I better get rolling on this book because every other year I seem to have this cancer problem. So I met someone that guided me to a woman named Martha Bullen, who is a consultant and writer herself, editor. And she got me going and helped me find editors and, book designers and formatters and all that stuff. And so in August of 2019, we published Running with Waltz. There it is.
Such a beautiful looking book. I got a chance to read some of the excerpts online. First of all, how are you doing with your health? How's health?
It's good. Awesome. It's good. Okay. Yeah. I'm in remission. I'm in treatment still. Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
And you're still running?
Still running.
Still moving.
Moving.
So I appreciate that. Appreciate you sharing that. Mm-hmm. That part of you. I want to talk a little bit about the book as well. What should my listeners expect from reading this book?
They will expect to want to go out and buy new running shoes and they're going to hop on. That's what I hear a lot of. And I know that kind of sounds like kind of big headed, but
no, I believe you.
People are like people that read the book, like they'll come up and they'll say, oh my God, I thought you were like writing my story, because it's not a unique story. But I just happened to write it down. Because people are like, I don't know what to do with my life, blah, 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 And then I started doing something I was passionate about. But my one friend, Trisha, she was one of the very first people. She was one of my clients initially is how I met her. And we would talk and stuff. And she was like one of my very first people to read. She only read part of the book, actually. And then I said, oh, would you mind reading this? See what you think. She came and she goes, oh, my God, I need to read more. I need to read more. And she said, Sean, I'm going to run. I'm going to start running. And I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, totally. I totally can do this. So, and actually she's on the back of the book. This book has truly been an inspiration to me and continues to motivate me beyond words. Trisha Fisk, new runner training for her first marathon.
Go ahead, Trisha.
And
shout
she
out
did it. Yeah. She ran her first marathon. She, I was there to cheer her on. It was in Chicago a couple of years ago. So a lot of people are just like, oh, my God, if you can do this, because I'm not like some elite Olympian athlete. I'm just like your average mom next door.
I think that's what makes your story so unique, because you said I'm the average mom who the soccer mom, baker, mm-hmm. volunteering, doing all those things. Mm-hmm. And to see how motivated you still are, even when mm-hmm. you first started. giving up smoking, still motivated, even when you got knocked down with this quote unquote disease, illness, still motivated, still inspiring other people. What do you want? What legacy do you want to leave in this world?
I just want people to know how much they can possibly do. Just get up and do it. Don't be afraid. Whatever your passion is, get off the couch. Go do something, you know? Because it's just so... Now, granted, like I like my cookies, I also enjoy laying on the couch watching Netflix. But that's like, you know, just a little bits here and there. But just get out and enjoy life. And, you know, do everything that you can, you know, that you're capable of, that you're interested in. Even if you just like putzing around your yard planting flowers, you know, whatever makes you happy, just go and do that. Go find something that you're passionate about.
Great advice from the great Sean Tagmeyer. Sean, how can my listeners connect with you? And if they want to be a client of yours, how can they do that as well?
Okay. They can email me my full name, SeanTagmeyer@gmail.com. And then I also have a website, SeanTagmeyer.com. And I do a lot of Zoom clients. I have like 5 people that train via Zoom.
I love it. You are virtual. There's no excuse not to get out and start moving. I'm telling you, pick up her book, go to her website. A lot of great information. She has a blog there, some of her other interviews. So definitely check Sean Tagmeyer out. But Sean, before you leave, you cannot run out too quickly, because the second part of the show is called the Super Bomb Questions, which is brought to us by Mountain Made. The difference from the first part is I'm going to ask you a question and I need to respond as quickly as possible. No commentary, just a quick response. So are you ready?
Okay. Ready.
All right, take a deep breath, inhale. Let it out. Here we go. Sean, what's your favorite word?
Happy.
What's your favorite quote, or maybe a Bible verse, scripture, or maybe a lyric to a song?
Oh, I know what my favorite quote is. I can't think of it. It's Thomas Edison. If we did all the things we are capable of, we would literally astound ourselves.
What's your superpower?
Motivation.
What's your spirit animal?
A wolf.
What moves you to tears of joy?
My boys.
What moves you to tears of sorrow?
Oh, seeing animals hurt.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Right.
What is the book or books you've given most as a gift, and why?
Oh, the places we'd go. All the places you'll go. Dr. Seuss.
What's your morning routine? After you do all the biological stuff, what's your morning routine that gets you up and moving?
Oh, I like to try to run in the morning. I strap the dogs on and we go.
If you were in the Mrs. America talent competition, Sean, what would your talent be?
Running.
Well, Sean Tagmeyer, it's been an honor hanging out with my homegirl from the great state of Illinois and another Cub fans. Go Cubs. Thank you for hanging out with me. I'm telling you, check her out. Go to her website. Pick up her book. If you want to be one of her clients, you will do yourself a favor. Get off that couch. Start moving. You too can walk with Walt. Sean, thanks for hanging out with me.
Oh, my God. Thank you. This has been fun.
It has been a lot of fun, and I cannot do it without you. And my amazing super duper producer, Nicole Klimpaka, Supremacy for our theme music, and all of you for listening. Hey, if you want to know more about me, go to drdrldiaz.com. Leave me a comment. Stop being stingy. Share us with all of your friends. We're on every platform. Tweet about us, Facebook, Instagram us. Let us know what you are thinking and what you think about the show. And if there's somebody you want to come on our show, please reach out to Nicole. Thank you. But listen, go out and do something for someone other than yourself today. Thanks for tuning in to Sound Bombing. Peace. My final thoughts for today's show. Healing doesn't have to be complex or overwhelming. In fact, it is more simple than we can imagine. Oftentimes, it just means filling yourself back up, living a life of adventure and excitement, and becoming more self-aware. It may not be fast or overnight fix, but those will never last. Lasting health outcomes from providing energy, focusing on self-care, and living with intention. One day, one choice, one moment at a time. Create the trust and experience the difference so you can get healthy, live happy, find joy, and if you want to run, start one step at a time. Peace.
The Super Balm questions are brought to you by Mountain Made CBD. Mountain Made is changing the CBD game by offering a line of high-dose CBD tablets at an affordable price. Their products are THC-free and third-party tested for accuracy, cleanliness, and potency. Their products, which ship nationwide, include Build for CBD saturation, Boost for precision titration, and Recover for rest and rehab. With 9 years experience in hemp and fitness, Mountain Made's founders are focused on creating a quality product to help those who live an activated lifestyle. Check out mountainmade.life. Again, that's mountainmade.life to find out more about how their products can help you crush life. Remember, their products ship nationwide. Go check out their website today and follow them on social media. At Mountain Made, that's the @ MNTMADE. Our staff at Sound Balming uses Build before a morning workout, which helps to push our bodies to a whole new level on a daily basis. Try Build, try Boost, try Recover. Our staff is using these products to enhance our active lifestyle naturally, and we are crushing life with Mountain Made CBD. And you can too. Start today by going to mountainmade.life and ordering Build, Boost, Recover, or the multitude of other products that they have which will enhance your lifestyle. I promise you, you won't regret it. Thank you.